Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. A little gloomy. We're almost to the holiday, though. We're rocking and rolling. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll get to Bills Steelers. We'll get to Sabres Penguins as well. That's coming up.
Sabres as a whole here.
Tomorrow. Shaq Lawson signing back to the practice squad. We'll get to all that here in just a moment. But first... I wanted to discuss the atrocity that I watched last night for about half of it. Really, Derek, the question is, at what point is it more than justifiable to bail out of a bad football game when you have no rooting interest in it? Because Carolina San Francisco last night was a terrible football game to watch.
All it is at this point, like if you have no investment in anything, you don't even need to watch it for the standings, really, within the AFC, for example. It is your form of entertainment. So for me, the answer is whenever I feel bored.
I was kind of entertained for that first half, though. It was a tire fire.
No.
It was so bad it was good.
I got to tell you.
It was so bad it was good.
I watched maybe an eighth of that game.
Okay. All right.
It was nothing about it really kept my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other things that I could just do.
No, that's fair. I initially watched Syracuse-Houston because that was really fun. That game got to overtime. Syracuse could not even shoot 45% from the free throw line. That's why they lost, just flat out.
Make your free throws.
I then did get over to Gonzaga-Alabama. That game was very, very good. Gonzaga's such a wagon.
They just need to win a national. Tweet.
They just need to win a national title, and they are considered a blue blood for me. I'll bring that conversation back up in March, but they're so talented every year. But I had to watch a little bit of Carolina-San Francisco. And I partially stayed. Derek, did you see this stat? At one point, relatively early in the game, Brock Purdy was 1-for-5 with 3 interceptions on throws 15 or more yards downfield. It was incredible to watch how bad of an offensive performance it was by Purdy. Because I should not say in San Francisco entirely. They were able to drive down the field at times and get into scoring position. Purdy himself was awful. And then Bryce Young. He never fails. He will have an incredible game that will make you buy into, man, he might be all right. He might be pretty darn good. He might have a career in the NFL. And gosh darn it, the next week he will prove you wrong.
The next week he'll be like, nope, there still is kind of a problem.
Here. Oh, man.
It will be interesting to know what his future looks like outside of Carolina, because I think the Panthers won't pick up any sort of extension on him.
They should not.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with his career going forward and what Carolina does at quarterback from then on. But I will say he is the truest of a high and low quarterback.
Threw for 500 yards last week.
The high ceiling is there with him, but that floor is in the ground.
It's so bad.
It's in the ground.
Well, it's why, you know, going back to when the Bills play the Panthers, it's why some of us were sitting there going, you know, I actually don't really want to play Andy Dalton. Now we were proven
wrong. You said that. I did not say that.
Me and Mike Shope were on that, where we're both kind of like, I would actually, I think, much rather play Bryce Young.
And I was like, no, I think I'd want Andy Dalton. He's not good anymore. He's not Andy Dalton. He's not even a good backup quarterback.
But those are the Bryce Young floors where you get a game like yesterday where it's just kind of a non-factor. He's really a huge negative on the team. They can't move the ball. They had three turnovers or three takeaways, and they got 3 points out of that. It was awful. An incredibly bad football game to watch. And for me, I stopped after halftime. But the first half, I was just wildly entertained by how bad it was. Like, that's a way to actually get me to many football games is, hey, it's a burning pile of crap. You need to go watch it. I'll be there. I will be there for a little while. I'm not going to stay the whole time. Yep. I have better things to do, and there's better sports probably on. But I'm going to be there for a little while. The college
not
basketball
even just better
was
sports,
very good.
Better things. Like, you are a big reader.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not. Based on that game, I would have cracked open a book.
You wouldn't have been able to, I'm telling you. Because you would have had it on in the background with a little bit of the volume up, and you'd have just heard Purdy intercepted again, and you would have been like, I got to lock this in. I got to lock in.
Except I did grab a book.
Oh, there you go.
Is it a Star Wars Expanded Universe book? Yes.
Yeah, you did something, though.
But I did read last night instead of watch that game.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, that first half was a good time.
And I'm not a big reader.
But a good time. It was frustrating for Carolina, too, because I'm like, they're not really good, but they might actually be able to jump in here in the NFC South.
I'm totally,
and they just looked so bad.
I'm totally happy when there's no investment needed in a sporting event to completely disassociate. Perfectly fine with it. I have no issues, no qualms with it. Like, do I need to at least keep an eye, like a side eye on it for this? Yes.
Oh, right, of course.
But that game was going so poorly, nobody's making primetime performance on this game. So,
J.C. Horn, if they would have won yesterday, would have gotten a shout. He had two interceptions.
Yeah.
If they would have won the game, he would have had a shout. But no. No. Yeah,
the way
no.
it was going, I'm like, I can keep a side eye on the box score. I don't really need to do anything here. I'm going to pick up this book that I've wanted to read for a little bit, and I'm going to start reading it. So, yeah.
Man, just what a game.
I learned of what the, I learned of a reference from one of the shows.
Oh, there you go.
Like one of the Disney Plus shows. And I'm like, oh, this is what that is. Okay, this is really cool.
You're like, this is so much better than
watching
Brock Purdy play quarterback.
And watching Bryce Young attempt to throw a forward pass.
Like, I would disagree, though, because I was enthralled by the ineptitude there.
Zach.
But understandable.
You and I also sometimes have a vast difference in our willingness to watch tire fires.
I mean, that's like one of my favorite things to do
and
in,
for
in
me,
life.
I could do so many better things than that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do in life.
That's why, like, I've never liked the reality shows or anything like that. Because,
Love is Blind. I mean, come on.
Look, if I have it more together than what I'm watching, that's not good.
No, see, I watch that to be like, you know what? You're doing all right, kid. You're doing all right.
Nope. I'm just like, okay, I have it more together than you do, and that's not good for you. That's not good for me either, but it's not good for you. And it's not good for my eyeballs that I'm watching this. I'm out of here. Like, never. Can't do it. Can't do it, won't do it, and that includes some of these football games this year. So, Hell, the Bills have been guilty of this at some point this year. First three quarters against Miami.
Yeah, where it's just a disaster, and you're like,
if it weren't my job, I would not be watching this football game.
Yeah, it would be tough to stay. I mean, now that's the thing too. The Bills also have had moments this year, at many times as well, where if you're a neutral fan, boy, this is exciting to watch. You know, Baltimore, Kansas City, those games were great.
As the victims, the first half of Atlanta.
Right, right. I mean, you know, like at least Atlanta, because you're putting up the performance. I'd even say Houston, if you're someone that loves defense. That was a game where, I mean, you're locking in and you're like, look at this defensive line and how they're moving and all that stuff. I mean, I do want to give constantly a shout to the Houston defense with how good it is on all three levels, just how they're able to just snuff out a game. It really, really impressive. But yeah, that is how week 12 ends. Bit of a whimper. And now we go into the Thanksgiving week of games, which I'm very, very excited about. It looks like we're going to get Joe Burrow back for Cincinnati. Not T. Higgins, though, and Trey Hendrickson. So that'll be something to watch. That's the night game when they take on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Cowboys have the Chiefs. I think that should be an interesting game because I don't think the Chiefs are particularly good, and Dallas is winning a few games here. They're on a little bit of a run.
That's right. The Chiefs and the Ravens both play on Thanksgiving in separate games. I can't get away from it.
No, remember, we had them Christmas 2 years in a row, too. So like the holidays have been dominated by those two.
I remember I made the comment yesterday of like, oh man, Thanksgiving's coming at the right time. You don't have to worry too much about anything. You can disassociate from the Bills and the playoff chase. No, the football that's on your television involves the Chiefs and the Ravens at some point.
At least we have Packers Lions at 1.
So I get to start my day right, though.
The Lions have really turned around the early window for Thanksgiving thanks to them being good again. Because
that was the game you'd often ignore.
Yeah, much of all of our lives, because that game usually started earlier, too. That was usually like a 12:30 start or something like that.
12:30. Yeah, I think you're right.
And for much of all of our lives, because that has been the Lions' existence, that was the early game where you're like, it's just on. Well, maybe we're cooking or we're traveling to someone's house or you're setting everything
up.
And
the Lions are proceeding to get their butts kicked 38-7.
And a lot of times, too, I mean, especially here in Buffalo, it's an NFC North rivalry game. A lot of times it would have the Bears on there or the Vikings or something like that. Like this year it's the Packers. And there would just be no rooting interest there. Now it's just the Lions are fun to watch. I'd want to watch any game of theirs that I can because they're really fun.
They're a fun team.
I also think they're kind of what I want the Bills to be. I know the Rams is sort of the easy one to go to for a lot of people now. And the Eagles, of course, with Howie Roseman. But I look at the Lions where they kind of do everything I want. The only difference is I have a superstar quarterback and their guy is just pretty good. I like Jared Goff a lot. There are also moments, though, where Jared Goff looks like the guy that got traded from the Rams and that ultimately Sean McVay thought I could do better.
And caused you to have a meltdown.
Yeah, watching a Super Bowl.
When we first started to become friends.
Man, that Super Bowl against the Patriots will live
I will
in
never
with
forget
me.
That Super Bowl Rams-Patriots where you are just absolutely upset at Jared Goff.
Just make a play, man. Just move around. But now he's in a much better spot and it's working, but they have guys like Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown and until he got hurt, Sam Laporta. They are loaded with talent.
Brad Holmes is really good as a general manager.
Yeah, and they're willing to make moves, and they get aggressive in drafts. And you know, and also to a certain extent, too, I really like that they kind of don't care what other people are going to say. Like, they do get the best players. Their scouting department's great. Because I remember, like, the Jameer Gibbs
and Jack Campbell, both.
Yeah.
Were ripped on in that draft class of like, okay, why are you doing these things here?
Yeah, like, all right.
You invested premium assets in a running back and a middle linebacker?
The luster around the Lions is somewhat fading and stuff like that. In reality, no, they have hit it out of the park. Even Jameson Williams, though, remember, like he has a kind of rough start to his career with suspensions and injuries and stuff like that. And it's worked out beautifully for them, and they've stayed competitive throughout this. Really, their only issue to not probably making a Super Bowl out of the NFC is the fact that their defense is so injured all the time the last 2 years. Just constant issues there. We'll see what happens on Thursday. I'm excited to watch them always. But to the Bills. They are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday at 4:25. I think the line has moved now. I believe the Bills are 3.5-point favorites. I think this opened up at 5. They're now 3.5-point favorites at Pittsburgh. I will say, you know, this is a weird matchup. It is a 4:25 one. And it is two brands, the Bills being the newer brand, Josh Allen, they're always on primetime, they're always on television.
They're a little bit more of the exciting group.
Right. Pittsburgh is sort of the grandfathered in. They've been here, they've done that, and that's, I think, why they're there. And both are, weird enough, in similar spots record-wise. I just, for me, you know, looking at this, trying to look this from the outside looking in, not as a Bills fan, not as a Steelers fan, but just, you know, kind of bird's eye view, the average fan. just kind of an game, really. The Bills are floundering. They're having real issues against bad teams, and especially on the road. Josh Allen's not putting up the Josh Allen numbers all the time. It's not that long ago that he did have a 6-touchdown performance. It's not like that's not in his repertoire anymore. But then even for Pittsburgh, they're very irrelevant in the NFL, if we're being honest. They may make the playoffs, but they're going to get whooped on in the wild card round. So everyone kind of roots to play them in the wild card round because they can beat them pretty easily. They don't really have any young, flashy players that are coming up. It's a very old roster. And it is somewhat weird, especially after an offseason they did have where they did make some pretty big swings, like for guys like Jalen Ramsey and DK Metcalf. They do trade away George Pickens, but there's just nothing very flashy about them. And I think for me, the Houston loss for the Bills is a huge linchpin moment for this season. It is very much a fork in the road of you can either zig or you can zag, and depending on which one you do, could really define, I think, the legacy for many people within the Bills organization, namely, of course, the guys in the upper management areas, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. I think for me, though, where I sit, if you lose to Pittsburgh and you go to 7-5, they're probably still going to make the playoffs. I think right now they sit like a 92% chance of making the playoffs. It's pretty – even though they're in the last spot, they're in the 7th seed – they're in a pretty good spot. It gets dicey, though, when you lose to Pittsburgh. But I would argue I'm at a point now, and it's a lot like, for me, Jeremy's kind of big talking point of, if you're 0-3, what's the chance of making the playoffs? Well, you're 0-3. Do you really deserve to make the playoffs?
Are you really a playoff team?
Where it's not the same, but I kind of have a similar feeling of, yeah, you're 7-5. You should probably be a playoff team. But is that really important anymore? Is it more important that we need to start this over? This has failed. We're in year two of the quote-unquote retool of them. Last year was supposed to be this year where, all right, they're a young group, they're starting over, we're going to take our lumps, and they don't. They are the second seed, they go to the AFC Championship, and they're nearly perfect on offense. Allen wins the MVP, and everything looks great. This year has been, and we've talked about this a lot, this year has been sort of the opposite. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. They're picking up massive injuries on defense.
I wouldn't say everything that could go wrong has
But I mean, in the sense on offense, it's now all of a sudden you're turning the ball over more. You're not getting more takeaways. Your starting field position is one of the worst when it was one of the best. Your quarterback, who routinely hasn't taken sacks, is taking much more this year. He's already surpassed the number that he had last year. And your receivers, who were okay last year, but you did need to make a move, now all of a sudden are just not good, just flat out not good at all. Mac Hollins was at least a nice story last year.
Yes.
They don't even have that this year. And Dalton Kincaid, who has somewhat emerged, is still dealing with health issues and still dealing with the problem of staying on the field even when healthy. They don't use him a lot. James Cook is like the bright spot of the offense. And depending on who you ask, that's not really much of a bright spot.
And it's almost as if it's kind of it's not good that he is the bright spot.
Right.
Because there is a Josh Allen on this roster. And it brings me back to something. So a Texans player had said something about, like, they looked exactly like they did on film. DeMeco Ryans, as a matter of fact, also has something to say about this. It was a scheme we don't see much. Most of the time, we're getting a lot of chips, 7-man protection schemes. They really put a lot on the quarterback's play, like guys are going to have one-on-one matchups, and they were really hoping that he could escape the pocket. And I thought this was the best game we had of guys being in sync. It just tells me, again, if you're having a problem protecting with 5, you should be doing more to help him. And Joe Brady's not. Based on those comments from DeMeco Ryans, the offensive coordinator is not helping enough. He's literally just using the next step in protection is Josh Allen, go run and do something. And while I respect Allen's ability there, when you are getting a player battered around, he's going to leave the pocket before he has to because he is getting hit. He is getting sacked. His timing is now off. You need to do something to try to get that internal clock back. And Brady did not do that. in the second.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Second half, there were less chips than there could have been. There were less opportunities to do that. And the other side of the blade makes sense, though. This is the other problem. Because this is where it's both Brady and Bean to me. If I have more players in protection, I have to ask these Bills wide receivers to win one-on-one matchups. And if I'm the offensive coordinator, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I need to protect Allen, and I can't do that. Which side of the blade are you going to cut your hand on? Grabbing it is really what it turns into. So it seems like, yes, I know that coaching is probably abhorrent at this point. And this quote from Ryan's really said something about coaching, and in particular Brady's scheme. But I look at the other side and I go, would you trust three receivers to win in coverage if I have to do a max protect scheme? If I have to have Knox chipping and or even blocking outright, and maybe I get a running back out late?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking three Bills wide receivers to win battles.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's the roster too. We're like, they don't have the horses. They don't. I mean, they flat out don't. It's just, for me, it's both funny and tragic that really a big part of what the Bills have been, quote-unquote, trying to do is to take more off of Josh Allen's plate, right? To get it to a point where he doesn't have to be Superman all the time.
And
in reality, the passing game they have built is forcing Josh Allen to, more than ever, be Superman, be the MVP, be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just, it's incredible to me. Yeah, it's awesome. The offensive line is very good. James Cook is maybe an all-pro running back this year, so he's been a very good running back. But the defense leaves a lot to be desired, and your receiver room is getting worse and worse as the years go by. You know, they have not properly replaced Stephon Diggs. Arguably, they have not properly replaced Emmanuel Sanders or John Brown. They've constantly also been looking for number two. They thought they had in Gabe Davis for a while. That proved to be incorrect. It's just, it. Look, I think Brady has a lot of problems, and I think the luster is worn off of him, and I don't think he is an elite NFL play caller, and I do want to see them do something different there. But I've said it kind of since the season or before the season started, I did not know about the talent on this roster. And this year, I think that has been, for the most part, proven correct. Even before the injuries, the talent on the roster is probably not there. I think especially on the offense, but on the defense as well. We're at a point now, I mean, you mentioned it. Once Ed Oliver's out of the lineup or Michael Hoyt's out of the lineup, they can't get sacks.
They've gotten one sack since Michael Hoyt left the lineup against Kansas City.
You know, we're re-signing guys like Shaq Lawson, who, for all intents and purposes, has not played football since 23. He is in one game last year for Carolina, in which he plays, what, 14 snaps?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's effectively not played football since 23. Now, he signed into the practice squad. It's not like he has to immediately get elevated. But they're excuse me, they're in a really, really bad spot. And in many aspects, it is the general manager who has done a really bad job of setting up this roster for the second half of Allen's career.
I will say there is something interesting about this with – we mentioned the sacks thing. I had a tweet make the rounds apparently last night that I sent actually during this show yesterday. Ed Oliver's second on the Bills this year with three sacks. Ed Oliver played only three games and he's been out since week eight. We're entering week 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that the pass rush needed to be miles better. And a lot of responses about it of like, yeah, good thing they don't have like heavy investments in this
right.
position, right? And that's where I get more into where you are, Zach, about the general manager does need to hit more. Like really get some players that knock it out of the park more often and get some of these higher ceiling type players, because when you see it at the end of the day, wide receiver this, wide receiver that. I've watched the Bills with this management group do a much worse job of collecting a pass rusher or a top-tier pass rusher for this team. Greg Rousseau, that contract extension, looks kind of abhorrent right now. It's abysmal. It's kind of going to look like a long-term problem. Because why is it that Rousseau is not surpassing a player that played three games this year? Because the one player I could trust on the defensive line that is a superstar of sorts, or at least could be, is the one that got hurt. And Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver is that piece. He is that piece. He was also drafted 9th overall. And as Joe had played on the morning show, that clip of, I don't want to go through the bad times to get a top-tier player.
Yeah, how do you say it? Like the lean years?
Yeah, the lean years. If you keep going the way that you are, there's going to be a lean year in here.
Yeah, I mean that's where they're at. And that's where, look, again, they are 7-4. They're probably going to make the playoffs. I don't want to make it sound like all the time, but like they're actually like a 6-10 kind of, or well, what would it be, 6-11 organization. But they have hit a point where, yeah, I now agree with a lot of people that if Josh Allen were to get hurt for like 5 weeks, not even a season-ending injury, but 5 weeks, they would go 0-5. They wouldn't be able to grind out a win or
two. They'd probably go 1-4 because the NFL is weird.
I don't know about that.
You're telling me that the Cleveland Browns can win games with whatever is left of Joe Flacco against the Packers and...
I mean, look, it happens. I look at how this team operates.
The Jets win a single football game ever.
But how this team operates, they can barely win games against okay competition now with Allen. Now, if it's Mitch Trubisky, I just don't know. So I'm at that point now with a lot of fans where, yeah, you lose your starting quarterback, you're going to be worse off.
Either way, 1-4 is not great either, though.
No, but like that's my thing is just they are not a good team. I think a lot of the teams in the AFC are not particularly good teams. I think many of them are kind of surviving off of a few key pieces or good years from a bunch of guys. I think the NFC is really the crown jewel of the NFL this year.
Yeah.
But the Bills are in this position now with one of the weaker schedules, by the way, in the NFL. That is still holding true for the most part.
It is. Entering the season, it was a weak schedule. And going through strength of victory and strength of schedule, it's still holding up to be the point, and you're right about that. So it's something where... Yeah, this is a season that definitely has a little bit of a failure to launch, even with a 7-4 record, and it's frustrating to see at the same time.
Yeah, because the AFC is absolutely ripe for the picking. Absolutely. You match up very well against Kansas City.
And your
and
NFC.
And you may not have even play Baltimore. And to be fair, if you do, and I think this is fair, they seemingly always fall apart when you play them. Denver can't score, right? Indy's got Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback, and New England is New England. We don't know about them yet. But I look at the Bills in that same vein and go, everyone else is probably saying the same thing about the Bills of you can run all over them. And to be fair, if you just can cover their receivers, their passing game cannot get off the ground.
And even your NFC opponents were the South.
Yeah. You don't even play the hard NFC division. You don't.
No.
And so, like, with all that, 803-0550, the number to call. Where do you kind of put the blame for the Bills' issues this year? Is it more on Brandon Bean, Joe Brady, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen? You know, where are we at right now? They are 7-4. They are in a playoff spot. But, boy, it has been a frustrating season almost from the word go. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
I wanted to do things. I'm always wanting to do things to make this team better. And listen, there may be a player or two this week. We added Jordan Phillips, played for us, made plays in the AFC Championship game for us last year. He was not on our roster at the trade deadline. Like, I ain't giving up, but I also believe in our roster, too. And to Jay's question, I do believe we can win a championship with this roster.
On Wednesday, Brandon said he believed that the roster was of championship quality or championship caliber. After a performance like that, what is your confidence level that that is indeed the case?
I love these players. I love these players. I do. I love the guys in that locker room.
Oof. You know, we've heard both those clips. That is Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both discussing the current
roster.
Not in that order, but both discussing the roster at different times. And I think there is a fair argument that reading through the lines, you know, the subtext, if you will, there is probably a disconnect between, I think, the head coach and the general manager. I subscribe to that theory. I think that's right.
It's starting to become enough where, like, an outside perspective can see that. Now, before we keep going on this, we are getting in toward the holiday season. And this holiday season, we're kicking off Mission Give Where You Live to benefit Buffalo City Mission, powered by NYSEG, starting December 1st through December 19th. You can donate brand new sweatshirts, sweatpants, hats, gloves, scarves, and non-perishable food items to help keep our community warm and fed. Just stop by any Dash's Market location, drop your location off in the Mission Give Where You Live donation bin. And if you're shopping online, you can still do that. You can give through the Buffalo City Mission's Amazon wish list, sponsored by the Barnes Firm and Dash's Market. You can get all the details on kiss985.com.
So where the Bills are at, and I look, for me, because we kind of put the question out there at the end of the last segment, 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts. You know, who is maybe most to blame for the Bills' current issues? For me, I do think it is Bean. And to be fair, I don't think I'm alone in this, because I think more and more fans are starting to really go to that as maybe the biggest issue for the organization. And it is stuff like, you know, ultimately him saying, like, we're always going to try to add to the roster and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's a lot of retreads. It's a lot of guys who've already been on the roster. Gabe Davis coming back, and we're hoping he makes a big, you know, addition. Trey White from the offseason coming back, and we're hoping he holds down the corner position until Max Hairston is ready. Jordan Poyer comes back as well, and he kind of has to play a big role for the safety room. And then today,
Dane Jackson is a player that gets forgotten in this flux of players re-added to this team.
Right.
I'd asked the question last night. I was like, okay, I can't be crazy, right? Other teams do this, right? And most of the answer that we got through that question was from other fan bases was, yeah, not to the degree that the Bills do it with 30-plus players.
Right. Well, that's the thing is everyone knows they do it because, of course, you know the system, you know the coaches. It's the same with coaching
staffs. Bigger practice squad rosters. Right. Like, it is a phenomenon that does happen around the league. Obviously, this is in response to Shaq Lawson being added. But, you know, I don't want to get mad at every time that they do this because, hell, the morning show has a waiver system for this right now. There's a game being played.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get mad at it because I think about it of like, if you look around the league and there are fan bases that are following their team just as passionately as Buffalo would, this happens around the league, right? And I got responses from Cincinnati, Kansas City, effectively saying, yeah, you guys might do it a little more,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a phenomenon that's like Don't go driving yourself crazy over it is basically the message I got through this, which is kind of why I had to ask it. I didn't want to start
sounding insane. Right, because you want to know, like, am I the crazy person?
Am I the crazy person getting annoyed about this? Or am I just trying to take a step back and go, because this is the hyperfixation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we talk about Buffalo sports here. It's what we do. It's what you guys want to hear. This happens everywhere else, right? And the answer effectively I got is yes. The Bills do seem to do it more with older players. So it seems like the well in which that they can call upon gets thinner. And it is the same players. And it is the same guys here. Bringing back a Rex Ryan draft pick is a thing.
I think for me, it's just Rex Ryan, right? So he's not even part of the Bean McDermott thing. For me, it's just more he played a game in 24. He effectively has not played football since 2023.
And that's,
that is really concerning.
That is the thing. And that's what I mean by it. Like, it's not to the degree, but other teams do this around the league. I do want to help people with that because I went through the same thing of they can't be the only team doing this, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, starting to turn into the Joker a little bit. Because you mention it, like, you think Bean is the bigger problem of how this is going. This is starting to turn into one of those things that I don't know how much you can put into it. Because other teams do this. And these players that they've brought back haven't stunk entirely.
No, but I guess that's where I have two big issues with this. Number one, it's not like these are the guys that won you a championship.
Right.
And you're bringing them back in as sort of like, hey, they know the culture. They know how to get it done. We're going to bring them back. And
right.
The second part to that is, and this is where the draft junkie in me comes out, is cool. You're bringing these guys back because no young players are stepping up. We talked about Greg Rousseau, but like here, edge rushers. Javon Salman, who looked pretty solid as a fifth-round rookie last year. Looked like there was some pass-rushing juice there. What's going on? Nothing. We have no idea because they're going to bring back Shaq Lawson. You know, Greg Rousseau gets his contract extension and really is a non-factor. He has played every game this season. He is tied for Ed Oliver with 3 sacks. Kind of been a non-factor for them.
I don't want to go too far into it with the defensive additions like this because of the fact that it is injuries also forcing their hand.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, this is not the offense. This is where Gabe Davis comes into play on this. And I'll get there eventually here. But it is. You are post-deadline. I'm not going to get worked up over Shaq Lawson because of the fact that you have injuries here. TJ Sanders is playing on the edge at a couple of snaps of the last
game.
Right,
they need to get him moved inside
You literally need a defensive end. Mm-hmm. And it's better to have a defensive end that does know the scheme. Coaches are more comfortable coaching them up. It's something like that. Are you going to find a true talent that nobody else saw on another practice squad or on another or on free agency that are not on another roster right now?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are slim with the expanded practice squad rosters. They're slimmer now. The defense and those additions, that's the other thing. They've been fine. Could you do better? Yes, offseason-wise, for example. Bringing back both Trey White and Dane Jackson for the corner position, they did invest heavily in corner in that draft class, though, too. It is the fact that injury has taken some of them out. Harrison can't start the season on time because of an injury. Dorian Strong, I'm worried about what may be his career because neck injuries don't play around. Hancock is drafted, and now they might be using him at safety or at slot corner. It's seemingly like they're wanting to figure that out, but he's not a boundary guy, it looks like. They've written that off. And then at defensive end, Landon Jackson, a player that we were starting to give a little scrutiny to. What's he do the first step or first drive in Miami?
Yeah.
He's out for the year. Michael Hoyt comes back in the lowest lineup. He looks dominant. He is out. Ed Oliver has 3 sacks in 3 games, second on the team, but he's injured twice. And this one that takes him out for the regular season. TJ Sanders even gets injured, has to leave the lineup. And he does come back, obviously, but injuries have forced their hand on the younger contributions and against the younger contributions that they've had to do this. Now, what about Gabe Davis? The fact that Gabe Davis has shown to be a market improvement over everything that you did this offseason at wide receiver, which is not much, that is where you should have the problem. That's where I have my issue. Because you went ahead and went on a victory tour about the position, and then, oh, we actually need to add Gabe Davis, and we need to sign Mecole Hardman, because we're not doing enough at receiver. Hardman goes out with injury. He's on IR. But Davis has become the receiver that Josh Allen trusts the most. How? Well, I think he trusts Shakir plenty.
It's how they're using Shakir.
It's how they're using him. So that's where it really does become a bit of this, like, I want to be able to criticize the GM, but I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to go after it about Shaq Lawson, because that hand has been forced.
Right, and you're right to mention, like, TJ Sanders, we talked with Sal about it. Like, he's playing snaps at the edge. Like, yeah, it's like, not his position at all. He's not doing particularly well at it either. They got to get him moved back inside.
Am I concerned about the fact that that Lawson has not played consistently in over a year? Yes.
That's more not where good. My issue is, like, this is the best you can do. Because I'm sorry, there's no way that's the best you can do is, yeah, I mean, you know, he hasn't played football in a year, and he was with us for, like, that's the thing. His most consistent football has been with Buffalo, and only Buffalo.
And honestly, that's okay to me. But at the same time, yeah, is this the best you can do? But the hand was forced.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we take our next timeout, let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Tim here on the line. Tim, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Appreciate you having me on, as always.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to, you know, you guys are kind of hitting the nail on the head here this morning. I just wanted to chime in with my two cents as well. My biggest blame is being for sure. I mean, Brady, you know, has his lumps, and to be honest with you, I've liked him to start, but this is also a guy that got fired by Matt Rhule with like six games left in Carolina when they were really, really bad. So, like, let's, you know, I didn't love it. But get back to being, you know, the two biggest jobs, the easiest and the hardest job for a GM is, the easiest would be to tear down a roster and start a rebuild. I mean, I think that was very, very easy for them right when they got here because it was a bad roster. The hardest part of the job is to nail the quarterback, and you did that.
Right.
But outside of that, just acquiring talent to fill around. I mean, we really got lucky with Stephon Diggs wanting to force his way in his prime out of Minnesota to make that trade happen and just happened to be out of conference. So I think that's why that happened as well. But outside of that, you haven't really done enough to get your guy some help. You hit the pick. Now he's like 8 years in, heading into the back half of his career. And I would rather have somebody pulling the strings down the stretch to get some different people in here for Josh Allen. You're coming up to a crossroads on some contracts. We've got some post-June cuts on SpotTrack that I'm taking a look at, some ways to save some money this year with Curtis Samuel, Taron Johnson, a bunch of guys that kind of come to mind. And I just want somebody with...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day.
Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Some fresh eyes with no sentimental value to these players kind of pulling those strings and rebuilding the roster, and I just want to hear what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. I will always say, though, Bean did make the move for Von Miller. It may not have worked out. I do always want to point to he did make the splash free agent signing at that time. But you're right. In terms of the big offensive move, it's basically Diggs and Diggs. I think that's 100%. I think it's 100% fair to say that in terms of big moves to make, it's been Diggs. Because even though James Cook is a hit, they traded back twice before they took him.
I'm still going to go ahead and say, well, but if you hit on a second round pick, excuse me, fine, perfectly good. They've been in, but the thing is that here's the weird part: they'd been investing more regularly in the running back position than they had at the wide receiver position.
Because at that point, it had been Singletary to Moss to Cook. They try to go get J.D. McKissic as well.
Like right, they've done a reneges lot. On his deal, yeah.
They've done a lot at the running back position and eventually get it right with James Cook. Wide receiver, it was Stephon Diggs. They make a fourth-round pick in Gabe Davis, and they do a quick one-year signing with Emmanuel Sanders, and that's kind of about it.
And then there's the fifth round of Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, like they really have not done much of that at position. And I know that's where people get frustrated because even, you know, Kincaid, he's a tight end. Like, don't sell me him as a receiver. He's a tight end. You know, Keon Coleman. It's they trade back and then take him. It's nice and all that you get the extra pick, and if Dwayne Carter had worked out or does eventually work out, that's awesome. That's nice. But really, their one big move to help out Allen is Stephon Diggs, and then they trade him away when he's still somewhat working, and they eat up a ton of dead cap, even though, depending on the offensive coordinator, that still might be working. And it has really bit them, and they have really not been able to recover. Yes, they have the injuries on defense. But my kind of more issue is with the offense. I think because you see in the losses this year, the defense actually doesn't play that poorly, especially in second halves. It's the offense that fails them. And it's the offense that in many ways has failed them in the postseason as well, of having the ball at the end of these games and not being able to score, whether it be at home against Kansas City where you have the Stephon Diggs drop and then even a little bit later on in the game, or last year in Kansas City where – the offensive line blows play. I think it's Spencer Brown that actually blows that play. And then, you know, mm-hmm. Allen has to run around. It's a prayer ball to Dalton Kincaid.
Actually, no, that was, come down. I wouldn't even say Brown was that. It was scheme. Spagnuolo beat Brady on that call, and it was all call. That was what it was. And this goes back to the DeMeco Ryans quote, Zach.
Yeah.
Spagnuolo cracks the code. They don't chip a lot. And they don't on that play.
No.
So Kansas City sends more than the Bills can protect. Allen has to identify the mic as Drew Tranquil, and then the offensive line has to protect the way that it looks. Brady sends the overload on the right side, the offensive right. Spagnuolo has that lined up for them, and that's when Allen has to realize, I have to get this thing out of here. Oh, also, my hot read's not available.
Yeah.
So that goes back to the Ryans quote. This is where you're asking too much of Allen in a sense, and I do wonder if Bean's wide receiver addition with Joshua Palmer is better with a different offensive coordinator.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get your calls when we come back. We'll also have primetime players coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Tuesday. This is WGR. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, went a little long in that last segment. But before we hit our next timeout, I just want to give a quick shout out locally to college basketball.
Big four, kind of, for right now. But Big Four basketball is back, baby.
Buffalo 6-0. They are continuing that run of the best start to a season since 2018-2019. They cover against VMI, an 8-point win there. They're down in Fort Myers this week. It's part of those tip-off tournaments. Yes. You're seeing a few of them now. Maui's going on. The players' era is going on. I think there's a few more as well. But UB 6-0, continuing such a good start to the year. And they've got Bucknell tomorrow, and I believe it's 1:30 or 12:30. They're 2-5. They should beat Bucknell. Then they've got Canisius on Saturday. And then they've got a week until they'll play Bonaventure at home. That'll be the next game in Alumni Arena. So there's a good chance they'll be undefeated taking on St. Bonaventure. And speaking of the Bonnies, they're in action tonight against number 16th ranked North Carolina. That game is going to be on Fox Sports 1 at 6. And they've had a very strong start to the year as well. They're 5-0. They look very good. They look much more like a deep team than in years past under Mark Schmidt's group. And just, yeah, the basketball has been very good. And I even mentioned it to start today. Syracuse versus Houston. Syracuse drags that game to overtime. And if they could have just hit some free throws, they probably win that game actually in regulation. Houston is undefeated, but does not look as strong as teams of the past with Houston. But Syracuse even could be back here with Red Autry. It's been a little surprising, actually. Weirdly enough, you know, Buffalo and Syracuse have been somewhat of like ugly mirror images of each other. Syracuse under Red Autry's kind of had a tough time making the NCAA tournament since he's been there. And for the Bulls, since Nate Oates is gone, they've had a tough time making the NCAA tournament. Both, though, maybe back in the same year.
They've even had a hard time making the MAC tournament.
Yeah, they haven't done it in the last 2 years. 803-0550, the number to call. When we come back, primetime players for this week. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. This holiday season, we're kicking off Mission Give, where you live, to benefit Buffalo City Mission, powered by New York State EG. Starting December 1st through December 19th, you can donate brand new sweatshirts, sweatpants, hats, gloves, scarves, and non-perishable food items to help keep our community warm and fed. Just stop by your Dash's Market location and drop your donation in the Mission Give Where You Live donation bin. Shop online. You can also give through the Buffalo City Mission Amazon wish list. It is sponsored by the Barnstorm and Dash's Market. Get all the details at kiss98.5.com.
So, as we do, we've got business to conduct as we get ready for our primetime players. So there's a lot that's happened this weekend. Remember, I mentioned that I didn't watch most of that Monday night game because I'm like, oh, none of these guys are going to make it in there. So it's been an interesting weekend, and I do think that it's always fun, though, to be able to step back, especially when the Bills don't play. You're able to look around the league a little bit more because now you're trying to do it for an entertainment reason. Not just because we have to do this for our jobs. It's about our entertainment at this point, too. So it is fun to look at the primetime players from this weekend. And Primetime Players is brought to you by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And how we start things off here, we get into the honorable mention, Zach. And I'm going to go a little close to home for you for this first honorable mention.
He's on my list, too.
He's on your list, too?
It's okay.
Is it Texas quarterback Arch Manning?
It is. It is Archie Manning.
It's Arch Manning, who went 18 of 30, 389 yards, 4 touchdowns in the win for Texas as they are trying to find themselves back into a playoff conversation.
Being A&M, and you maybe got it.
Fight for your lives here this weekend in rivalry week, but I'm going to give Arch Manning the first part of honorable mention.
By the way, he also had a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. He had 6 total.
Six touchdowns will typically get you on this list.
The bombs were away. It's been fun to watch Arch's development throughout this year. I mean, going back to August and September, it was a disaster. Now, as the season has gone on, the team itself is not at all what I think many of us were expecting in Longhorn Nation. But as the season has gone on, Arch has absolutely
picked it up. He has stabilized his season.
I am now no longer worried about him. We'll have conversations if Sark leaves for the NFL or what have you, and maybe Arch leaves, whatever. If he's the quarterback next year and Sark's the head coach next year, I'm not really worried about him.
I think he has secured his spot for this season for Texas, but also I think he has secured and stabilized a little bit of his draft profile for next year.
I think so, too.
This year? No. Way too soon. He could take advantage of what might be a dwindling class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, financially, it might make sense in the advisement part of this thing, but I don't think Arch Manning is going to go and suddenly chase the money. It's the NIL era now.
He's got a lot. He's fine.
You don't have to at this point. And I mean, it's not like he doesn't come from the Manning family.
Right.
So there might be a thing or two there.
Speaking about guys that are going to be up for a ton of money in the NIL era, my next honorable mention is another quarterback, this one from North Texas. He has been on my list before.
He's been on this list before, yes.
It is Drew Mestemaker. 82% completion percentage, 469 yards and 3 touchdowns against Rice. The only reason he's not on this list is because one of his receivers that was catching all of those passes is going to be on this list. But Mestemaker has absolutely been, I think, my favorite player in the group of five players to keep an eye on. His story's great. A walk-on at North Texas. Did not start a single varsity game in high school and then wins the job as a redshirt freshman after having an incredible bowl game last year and has not looked back since. He puts up oogles and boogles of yards, a lot of touchdowns, and it's not bubble screens. It is not the easy gimme stuff. He is sending it deep, and he has got a beautiful throwing motion. He has got an NFL-caliber arm. North Texas, if they can win out, will be in the college football playoff. I know right now James Madison seems to be the quote-unquote favorite. It is only because Tulane and North Texas literally will have to play each other potentially in the American Championship. But both went out and made in the American Championship. The winner of that, I believe, will be the Group of Five team. And I do think North Texas will be that team. And if so, Mestemaker's going to have a lot of eyes on him, and he's going to have a lot of suitors. Indiana is going to need a quarterback with Fernando Mendoza leaving. Syracuse will need potentially a new quarterback. Miami as well. Ole Miss potentially, if Lane Kiffin does stay, could be in there as well. He is going to make a lot of money in NIL, and I do imagine he'll leave North Texas, mainly just to the sheer fact of, dude, get better and more coaching, play with NFL talent, because you look like an NFL player, Drew Mestemaker out of North Texas.
Yeah, I think with North Texas, it is a shame that they managed to lose to South Florida the way that they did. Had you at least been able to keep it a little closer, not allow 63 points in particular, there probably would be an easier road for you to make it.
They would be like the favorite. Yes. They're comfortably.
It's
no
their
problem.
Only ranked opponent. Yeah. They lose.
They got whooped on.
Yeah. Like I said, don't give up 63 points. That's the unfortunate part for the Mean Green, as they are called. Staying with the honorable mentions, I'm staying in the state of Texas. This is the weird part, right? But I'm going to the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott.
Oh, giddy up, yeah.
354 yards, 2 touchdowns in the win against the Eagles to really keep Dallas alive in this postseason.
They are
hunt.
Alive. Like, that's the thing. They are still alive.
Alive. And it very much needed that win in order to do so, because the NFC has had a little bit of a stronger case in terms of record this year. As a matter of fact, the 7-win Lions are out.
Mm-hmm.
The 7-4 Lions are out. Whereas Buffalo is the 7 seed, but there's 3 7-4 teams sitting there at the 7 seed. In the NFC, 7-4, you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Dallas is sitting there at the 10. They need everything at this point to go right for them, but it starts with a win against the Eagles, and Dak Prescott helped fuel it.
And, I mean, let's see what they can do against Kansas City. That game will be at home, and the Chiefs have looked very gettable all year.
Yes, exactly.
My last honorable mention is going to be more of a group, and actually I am also staying in the state of Texas. Houston defense.
Oh, right.
8 sacks on Josh Allen, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, both 2 or more sacks each.
Yep.
I mentioned it to start the show, too. Just an all-around great performance. I wish I was watching that more as a neutral fan and I wasn't a Bills fan, because I would have appreciated it more. It hurts more.
Mina Kimes as a tweeted Bills fan. It. Mina Kimes tweeted it that night of, if you can't appreciate what the Houston defense is able to do, we can't be friends. And I did ask, I didn't get a response from it, but I asked, do Buffalo fans get an exception for wanting the Bills to do cool today?
But no, I mean, it was a great performance by them, and they've been able to win games with a backup quarterback here, in part because of how good that unit is, and that was one of the best performances I've seen out of a defense in the last few years. So that's my last honorable mention, Houston's defense as a whole.
For these next two, number 5 and number 4, I'm going to the ice rink here.
Okay.
And first of all, I'm going to go with last night, Utah Mammoth. Logan Cooley against the Vegas Golden Knights. Zach, he had an assist and also not one, not two, not three, 4 goals and an assist against the Vegas Golden Knights in a big win. That's huge for the Mammoth, a team that is dealing with a lot of inconsistency issues as a younger team. And no, to have a performance like that is huge for you in order to get yourselves a little bit more stabilized within the standings and try to really establish yourself within the Western Conference as, no, we're going to be that next threat now. Utah sitting there at 12-8-3. They'd been on a skid where it was like they had 2 wins in their last 10 games, and both of those were against the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, good on you that you can beat a team other than Buffalo now, but you needed a big win here and a big game from Logan Cooley in order to help stop a little bit of this sliding that's been going on from them. 5-1 win. Cooley accounts for every single goal.
Number five for me, I'm going back to college. A player that I like and I hate, like, in equal measure, Diego Pavia out of Vanderbilt. 484 passing yards, 6 total touchdowns, 5 of them through the air in the win over Kentucky. They continue to win.
I thought about adding Pavia?
Pavia
to this list, but I was like, yeah, Kentucky's not good this year.
Kentucky's not good. It's still a great performance. And for me, it is just more keep winning. You've now got your matchup against Tennessee in rivalry week this weekend for a potential chance at the college football playoff, which Vanderbilt at all being that conversation still is stunning to me. Pavia has been really one of the main factors in their elevation to not just a laughing stock of the SEC, not, you know, we're here to help the GPA of the conference, but a genuine, honest to God, great program for them. We'll see if it continues past the Pavia era, but for right now, it's going to end on hopefully a pretty good note for them. So Diego Pavia comes in at 5 for me.
Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt. So going to number 4, staying on the ice here. Yes, it is a Buffalo Sabre that is going to end up on this list. And it's not the one that I sent you in the email.
Okay.
I am doing a switch.
Nice.
I'm putting Matias Samuelson on here again.
When you said it was a switch, Mike, I think I know where he's going here.
Within the last 10 days, because I've been out for a bit, I didn't get to do primetime players last week. But Matias Samuelson has 3 goals, 2 assists for 5 points in his last 5 games. He's also consistently clocking over 22 minutes a night. First pair defenseman next to Rasmus Dahlin. He has been making smart plays. And in the Carolina game, he lowers the boom several times in that one.
Yeah.
To a point where you have to appreciate what is going on all of a sudden with number 23. I want to joke about starting the Norris campaign for Matias Samuelson just to drive people insane. But at the same time,
he's having such a good year.
And based on some of the injuries going on defense for Team USA's prospects, do you consider what the play has been like for Samuelson this year?
That would be incredible.
To be a 7th or 8th defenseman for the Olympic roster.
That would be incredible.
That would be absolutely otherworldly, and I would love to see it.
I don't know how Sabres fans would react if they had 3 Americans on the team, though. If Thompson, Tuck, and Samuelson were all able to make it.
I say play Team America World Police theme song, but not on the radio.
I mean, that'd be incredible if they were able to get 3 players on there.
If they were able to get 3 players on there.
No idea if they will.
No, I don't think that they will. I think it'll be a stretch to even get one of them at this point. But Samuelson has been playing so well that it needs to be talked about here. And Thompson was originally the one here on a 6-game goal-scoring streak, but I have been so much more impressed lately with Samuelson that you got to give him the shine right now.
Thompson, though.
He's been good.
Play him at center.
6 goal-scoring streak, 6 games in a row. Yeah, you put him back at center, and all of a sudden he's finding the back of the net for you again. It'll be an interesting decision to make when Josh Norris comes back.
Yep. Number 4 for me, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 8 for 167 and 2 touchdowns. He continues his just ascension into one of the best receivers in the sport. And also, on this year, I got this from Underdog NFL on Twitter. Most receiving yards, first 11 games of the season, Josh Gordon in 2013 with 1,400.
Oh, my God.
Remember him?
Right.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon's season from...
Yeah, just incredible. Tyreek Hill, just over 1,300 in 2023. And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 13-13 in this year. He is on an otherworldly tear. Him and Sam Darnold have had a connection immediately, and it just seems like every game there is a play where Smith-Njigba is going 50 yards down the field, and Darnold just lets it rip.
I, at the risk of embarrassing myself, I'm going to talk more about JSN later because I can take him higher.
There we go.
There we go.
So do you want to do number 3 here, or do you want me to go on to number 3?
Yes, go on to number 3 because JSN's higher than number 3.
For me, I'm going back to wide receiver. I'm going back to North Texas, though. This is the guy that was catching a lot of the passes from Mestemaker, and that is Wyatt Young, who I believe is also named the American Conference Player of the Week for this performance, albeit against Rice. This is why he's not number 1 with the stat line. 8 for 295 and 2 touchdowns. 295 receiving yards is incredible, but it was against Rice. They are not very good, however. Still, when you put up that kind of performance, you got to get your flowers there. And for a team that is, I mean, they were down 14-0, I think, to start that game as well. So they had to come back in that a little bit. They're still in the college football playoff race here. And, yeah, I mean, like, they are just such a fun team to watch. I have no idea how to look if they are to get into the playoff and have to face a team like, say, Ole Miss. But I want to see it. So Wyatt Young, number three for me on this.
Number three for me is a player that has been on here several times. He will continue to be on here. And I dread when the Bills have to face him in a couple weeks. It's Myles Garrett. Three sacks again against the Raiders. 18 on the season. He's on an absolute tear. I'm still unbelievably angry at the contract that he signed. It should have been me, not him. Like, instead of Cleveland, it should be Buffalo. And, oh, my God. That contract is so infuriating for the neutral NFL fan because he's just stuck in Cleveland. Right. Where they're now praising the graces of a guy who threw for 200 yards in his first start.
Most of it was a screen pass. Garrett, by the way, he is well on pace to break Michael Strahan's all-time sack record in the season, 22 and a half. He's at 18 now.
He faces the Bills, who have had a problem. Yep. There's a shot of the Green Bay Packers having the conga line blocking three guys, like having three guys on him. I'm pretty sure the Bills are going to have to do that.
I was going to say there's a really, really strong chance he is in eyesight of that record when they play the Bills. And I wonder how that goes. He has been incredible all year. The team is bad around him, but he has been awesome. On to number two for me, Jeremiah Love, running back out of Notre Dame. He's not getting the Heisman, I think, love that he maybe should be, in part because Notre Dame started the year 0-2, and I think that has really hurt his chances. But against Syracuse, we heard from Sal yesterday talk about that Syracuse lost Notre Dame 70-7. It starts 21-0 before Notre Dame even takes an offensive snap, and it doesn't get much better. Love goes 171 and three touchdowns. Derek, he does that on eight carries.
Jesus.
So you wonder what that stat line looks like if Syracuse put up any kind of a fight. He is the best running back in college football in a relatively weak year with running backs, but he is not that at all. He is a special player for Notre Dame. So Jeremiah Love, 171, three touchdowns on just eight carries is number two for me.
All right, number two for me is JSN.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, who has been fantastic all season. You are already singing the praises there of how his season has gone. It's also that he makes the Seahawks offense so much more dynamic. And I know that sitting here in Buffalo, we're jealous of this type of player and this type of performance where he could be the engine of a passing game to help a guy like Sam Darnold, who is playing well in his own right this year. But part of Darnold's success also goes to the fact that he has an elite number one wide receiver, much like he did in Minnesota, where Jefferson was there. And he's able to make his case for a contract. But he does have Justin Jefferson in Minnesota.
Right.
Now he goes to Seattle. Everyone's like, I don't know about this. This might have been too rich of a contract. No. And why? JSN has been the player that he can lean on in a lot of instances. I go back to that Bucks-Seahawks game where it's 38-35 to end it. But it is just more or less exchanging blows between Egbuka and JSN. The Ohio State receivers are just battling it out. And other players are getting involved, but it's just the two of them shining with the quarterbacks throwing it to them. So everything about JSN this year has been fantastic. Leads the league. Well-deserved here. And I do think that he is a player that, if not for so many other, like, there's so many good viable answers for an offensive player of the year. JSN should be seriously considered, though.
Yeah.
But number one is probably going to steal it from under his feet.
I wonder about, because we both share number one, I still think Jonathan Taylor is going to maybe wind up with this. Now, it does depend on how Indy finishes.
Oh, yeah, you've seen my email. You know my number one here.
It does depend on how the season finishes for Indy, because if it collapses, that's another thing.
Yes.
But number one for both of us, Jahmyr Gibbs, who also does this on very few touches. It's 219 on the ground, two touchdowns, and then he also adds 45 through the air and another score.
He's done 15 touches, 15 carries. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, really a lot of this week has been more guys just doing a lot with a little. Gibbs is an incredible player. Taylor was on such a tear. I do wonder how this season kind of finishes out for Indy. There's that rumbling feeling of, ooh, are they going to finish this year like 10-7? Is it going to collapse a little bit for them? And it may. I have no idea. But Gibbs could, I think, be a really good shout. You're right about Jackson Smith and Jigba. Puka Nakua, by the way, before he got
hurt.
Right,
before he got hurt, he was
well on this kind of
path. He was on the guy. He was the guy to win this.
But yeah, so for both of us, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jackson Smith and Jigba, though, I think that's a really good shout because he's having an incredible year. And you know who really misses Sam Darnold? Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
In essentially one game, Jackson Smith and Jigba has passed Justin Jefferson in touchdown catches. He only has two this year, and JSN had two this week.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they're in real dire straits with J. McCarthy, who I was a big believer in. I really, really was.
Who would have thought the guy that got carried at Michigan can't get carried in the NFL?
He was carried by a defense. His offense had basically no star power.
I don't want to hear it.
If
you are a bona fide star type quarterback, you could carry a team in college football that doesn't have as much talent, even within the Big Ten. He was carried by a defense, and he only had to be the game manager. The last time that there was a game manager in college got drafted in the first round, it was McCorkle Jones. That didn't turn out well, did it?
Well, San Francisco should have turned to McCorkle last night, okay? I mean, I know they should turn to him. I will say, though, with McCarthy and really with the Vikings, man, I've never seen it go so bad. Because I'll always be like, you go for the first-round pick. You put that asset in there. It's only a year. Do it. They're not getting anything out of Justin Jefferson, who is arguably one of the best receivers of his generation. They're getting nothing out of him. I mean, I have not been able to sit down and watch a ton of Vikings games because they've been bad this year and there's really been no point. But every time I do watch J.J. McCarthy, it is painful
to
sit through.
It's a struggle. But that is the opposite of what we've been doing here, which is the primetime players. It's sponsored, again, by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. 803-0550 is the number to call. As there's still a lot to talk about with the Bills, how this season has been going. And
we've barely talked about Shaq Lawson being on the practice squad.
And for me, I'm not worried about it as much as other people are. As a matter of fact, I've been getting some help from people looking up other teams and how often they do this sort of thing. I've got at Willie Beeman 716 sending me something about teams that also do this. Washington, Kansas City are Chiefs amongst them this year at 6 and 5 respectively. So it does seem like it's a more commonplace occurrence in the NFL. He also jokes with me that it's like when Aaron Rodgers signs all those former Packer receivers when he's with the Jets.
I will tell you, though, you say all that, and all I hear is it doesn't really work out
well. It doesn't work
well. And it's teams that are desperate that are like, well, all right, let's go back to the drawing board.
But with
the guys that we liked before.
But with Shaq Lawson in particular, it's injuries forcing your hand. TJ Sanders is playing on the edge for you. You don't have time to coach somebody else up. Throw in a guy that knows what he's doing in terms of the system terminology and everything like that. A little bit of familiarity on the defensive line with some of the players there. Like, he knows Daquan. He knows how he plays. Is he getting further and further away from the connection of the Bills pass? Yes. But I also do think, like, could you do better? Yes. Could you do better with a player that's going to get you trained up right away? I don't know.
All right. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, and today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres are not in action again until tomorrow. We actually only have one game in the NHL today, and that is Edmonton hosting the Dallas Stars at 9. Then I think most of the league is in action tomorrow, heading into the Thanksgiving break. But we do have some practice lines from today, and it might be, if this is the lineup they go with tomorrow, it's the best lineup they've had all year. I think it is the best I have felt about the lineup all year.
I like these lines. I really like these lines. These are fun. This is, and it's funny what this team does the minute that they get healthy, in a sense. Obviously, Yuri Kulik's still out with the blood clots, but here's the lines at practice, as many of the reporters are putting in there. Our own Paul Hamilton's putting that out there as well. By the way, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in his own net today. That likely means that he will be the guy tomorrow in net. And I'm subscribed fully now to the theory that seems to be working from Owen Parker, which is they're going with the hot hand. You win the game, you're staying in net. Because there's enough time between games right now that you don't have to worry about it. So UPL likely to be in net for tomorrow's game. Lines today, Zach. Thompson with Tuck and Doan, as that group really did well against Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the line of McLeod, Jason Zucker, and Jack Quinn. And that group really did work together well until Zucker had that illness that knocked him out of the lineup. And McLeod had to move up the lineup. Zucker's out. Quinn is kind of helping try to get the kids along with Oslund and Rosane. So I like that group right there. But it's the other line that I'm most interested in right now. Fourth line has Kozak, Malenstein, Krebs. Perfectly fine with that. I think Tyson Kozak as a 4C is fantastic. It's that Josh Norris is skating actively. It looks like he's going to be in tomorrow, which would be nice to see for talent-wise. Norris is centering Oslund and Benson.
Yeah.
And if Norris, who is a gunner in his own right, gets a playmaker like Zach Benson in this lineup and a high IQ player like Noah Oslund on there, there's a lot of fun potential you can have with a line of Norris, Benson, Oslund. And they're not going to get the top line competition in terms of defensive pairings.
Right.
I like that. I really like that grouping there. I also think that this team plays so much differently with Zach Benson in its lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have high IQ players, Norris is also fantastic at faceoffs. You have Zach Benson, who will force every turnover ever. Oslund knows where to go. I haven't seen enough of Norris to know how high the hockey IQ is.
No, but his points per game points too. When he's healthy, he's an incredible player.
And also, he is a certified gunner in this league. He is a guy that he can just make you some plays. And more or less, he's a good goal scorer throughout his career. Can he stay healthy? That's always the question.
That's the question.
And that's always the crux of it. However, if it's his first game back, the first thing I'm looking at is you have a guy who's a three-time 20-plus goal scorer and yet has never played an entire season.
Right. Like that, and that's what I mean. It points to
two-time 20-plus goal scorer.
If he could stay healthy, number one, Ottawa never gets rid of him. He's not, right. He's not even part of the trade discussion.
But it is.
Where we're at now, they've been able to stay interesting. They've been able to stay somewhat alive in part because the East refuses to let anyone go. It's no team left behind. Love that for them. It's really nice. But they're starting to get healthier. The team is starting to somewhat round into form, and you have mentioned it too. We're coming up on a West Coast road trip that they're going to have where
December 3rd is going to be.
Typically played very well in that Pacific West Coast kind of vibe trip, Edmonton, Vancouver, Seattle, all that jazz. They have played very well in the last few years on those road trips. They are getting people back healthy. They are getting the lineup I think they've wanted since opening night. And you have a goaltending competition that isn't just the best of the mids. It has been some pretty good nights from the goaltenders throughout the year. And it's why I also am with Owen Parker on this, where it does feel like you win, you stay in. You lose, we go to the next guy, and that's why Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to be playing.
And he gives all three of them a fair shot.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a down game, okay, we're going to someone else. I don't know if it does anything necessarily to hurt the confidence of goaltender at that point, because, no, it's not like you're sticking with a guy and he's the one
right.
A goaltender in a group of three. No, you're all getting playing time then, if this happens.
Yeah.
Because inevitably somebody's going to lose, or somebody's going to have a poor game, for example. Inevitably, that is going to be what happens. Honestly, Brian Colesio put up a poll last night of if they need to make a move of a goalie, like who do you want moving forward to be the tandem? A lot of people overwhelmingly picked Lyon and Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
I know that UPL's contract is very hard to move on from. I would not mind a tandem at this point of UPL and Ellis. The only reason I say it is because that contract is hard to move. Can you get someone to take it? Yes. It's not an albatross. Don't get me wrong.
But it's much more his play based on the contract.
The math is not mathing, but it's a lot harder to move that contract when the math is not mathing. It's a lot easier to get rid of an Alex Lyon, for example, on a free agency deal. And not on a very expensive one either. Do you lose your quote-unquote veteran presence? Yes. But UPL's been playing in the NHL long enough. Right. He's got a contract that should say you should be the veteran guy, actually. But then it allows you still a little bit of breathing room in terms of the roster, and it's easier to unload. The player is easier to unload, really, is what that is. It's also a little, like, I don't know if it's bad faith, nor so to say, of, like, you sign a guy in the offseason, then you trade him before that season's done. I don't love that idea, but, again, Lyon's easier to depart from, and teams would be more willing to accept than, for example, a UPL at the cap hit that he's playing at, and the numbers don't really line up exactly. But also, there's nights like against Carolina where he is great throughout the entirety. He makes some timely saves. He keeps them to one goal. He does everything that needs to, and he did also get the goal support. It's not like the Chicago game where they score nine goals. UPL has a sub 900 save percentage in the game, but they still win 9-3. He made the saves when he had to in this game against Carolina, and that's been a little bit more prevalent as of late from UPL. He's been making some tough saves as of late. Is there something there? Well, maybe. Maybe the math can start mathing again. But I don't mind any duo at this point. But if you're going to keep running it like this, there are worse ways to handle a three-goalie rotation. Like they had in years past, for example, with Levi Lukanen and insert player here. Romery, right. Anderson, the like.
It's been a role there. But, yeah, so they're getting enough out of the goaltenders for right now, and now they're getting healthy. I'm very excited to see what Josh Norris looks like. We don't know if he's playing definitively tomorrow, although he's in the lineup. He's also on the top power play unit with Benson, per the reports from a number of reporters, including our own Paul Hamilton. So it's pointing to, if he doesn't play tomorrow, he's playing Friday, right? Unless there's like a drastic setback. He's coming back probably this week. I'm excited to see what he looks like. And I did mention, this is the best I felt about this lineup all year, in part because the opening night lineup didn't have Zach Benson. I had no idea what Josh Dunn was going to be. Matias Samuelson was still, you know, seen as, honestly, an albatross just on the team, just flat out.
Right.
Now it's a little bit different where all of a sudden Thompson is playing much better. Tuck is starting to play much better. Dahlin is back from Sweden, and he has really started to pick up form into what he's been. Benson, we now know, has just kind of arrived. He is one of their best players flat out in the forward group. Jason Zucker's been very good. And now we get to see kind of what maybe Josh Norris, hopefully an extended period here, we get to see what Josh Norris looks like as a Sabre. Because what have you gotten actually, like four games out of him? Between last year and this year.
Yeah, you have not gotten much of a
Sabres fans
taste.
Have really not gotten to see what he looks like. And if that can maybe activate their power play because he's how good he is on the faceoff and they can start getting that rolling
as well.
You start
with possession. It's a big deal. And Paul talks about it with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Of if you lose the faceoff, you're chasing, you have to re-enter the zone. And they have shown that their plans to re-enter the zone have not always been clean.
Mm-hmm.
You win, you have possession. You can get that quick hit, the quick shot off the draw. That gets you power play goals. That gets you goals in the NHL. Winning faceoffs. Having possession. I'm excited. Also because, again, we've only gotten a taste of Josh Norris in four games.
Yeah, we flat out just have not seen what any bit of what he's capable of, especially with the forward group that he is with. Now, coming up, as we mentioned, Wednesday, they're at Pittsburgh. This team has been awful on the road. They've got to fix that. They've got to adjust that. They've got one road win all year.
Fix it tomorrow night.
Pittsburgh is, funny enough, playing fairly well. I know Evgeny Malkin had a very, very hot start to the year. I haven't checked if that's still on the way, but
Eric Karlsson looks like he's just fine.
So they're
Crosby.
They're Pittsburgh. You know, it's kind of one of those. Friday at home, Jersey for Black Friday. It's a 4 p.m. game. That's important as well. Jersey's off to a very good start this year. Although Jack Hughes, not in the lineup. He's not going to be in the lineup for a while. Whatever happened at dinner, that was weird.
I wonder, like, how, like, what did a knife fall on his hand?
Someone start cutting his steak for him. That's it. Like, just the Devils hire somebody.
I do believe there's another player that is now out because of a dinner related injury.
Incredible.
In hockey.
That is incredible.
Like, yeah, no, steakhouses and hockey players suddenly not a mix. More at 11.
And then on Saturday at Minnesota, and that does begin really your extended road kind of period here. You'll have one more home game on Monday against Winnipeg, and then it's
the month of December. They're barely here.
Yeah, they're barely here. It's going to be a lot of road games. They've got to figure that out. And now, look, you're starting to get the lineup back. You're starting to get healthy. Kulik really kind of the one.
Kulik is the one
on
that you're not getting back
and
anytime soon.
He is part of that run of what is happening. These are not even really injuries. These are health scares for a lot of these guys. Zucker with the illness, Dahlin with his fiance, Kulik with the blood clots. Now you're starting to get some of these guys
in
back.
In addition to the injuries.
Right.
Benson with the foot. And
Norris, we've already mentioned.
Norris and then there's Danforth, who's a quality fourth liner, though he didn't have a good start with Buffalo. But he's at least a solid NHL fourth liner in this league. Like, there was enough injuries to go, okay, the Bills and Sabres are trading it seemed like every other week, who's got the longer injury list?
Right.
And then entering Houston, the Bills were like, no, no, we got this.
And they've been able to stay interesting. I'm but not saying they're in a playoff spot, but because the East is just not separating itself, every team is still clumped together in that wild card group, you are able to stay alive. I'm with Paul. It's going to take a lot to jump 6-7 teams, but also no one is really getting away from you. So if you were to win 4 in a row, 5 in a row, all of a sudden, yep, you've overtaken some of these teams because no one is winning on those games in a row. Like the Bills, though, with the weak AFC, the Sabres are playing into that, right? The weak Eastern Conference. But now you're starting to see this lineup really turn into form. I also still think that with the Olympics being a thing, you're going to see guys like Thompson and Tuck, I think, really put the pedal to the floor to try to make that roster, to put in that last minute, hey, they're playing their best hockey, let's get them in the roster now. I think that's going to play into it. And Thompson, now, especially at center, looks like a much different player than he did from
– He's more confident.
Basically the entire start of the year when he was at wing.
It's like when Don Granato did this with him to jumpstart his career.
Yeah.
And it seems like Thompson is just more – the evidence is here now. He's much more dangerous offensively up the middle.
Up the middle.
And that's just how it is. Did he play fine last year with Kulik there? Yes. But Paul talked to us about this of like, Kulik's got to become his own guy. He's got a great shot. He can't just keep deferring to Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was doing a lot of last year to end the year. And then when he's with Benson and Thompson, it is, he's ceding to Tage. There are quality chances he's passing up to try to get Thompson the puck. That comes with being a younger player. You know the guy's more established. But I do think that what Paul said there had a little bit of weight of, you need to start being your own guy too. Having Tage Thompson in the middle, though, makes it more dangerous. He is a more dangerous player overall, offensively in particular, when he's in the middle of the ice, when he's able to command it and drive it through like this. And defense can be fluid. If you are the first forward back, you're taking the middle. If you're the, for example, if you're the winger skating back, first one back, you're not suddenly just going to your half wall and that's it, and you're waiting for the center to come back. No. Defense is fluid. Hockey is fluid. You do need to be able to fill that gap when it's there. And Alex Tuck and Josh Doan, more than capable of doing that.
Right. It'd be also, especially with Thompson too, and now maybe Norris coming in, it'd be nice to get the power play going as well. They're 20th in power play percentage, 17.9.
You know how
although
they started?
That penalty kill, still number one in the league.
They have been fantastic there. They're getting saves from goalies, even UPL in this instance, where everything's working on the penalty kill. It's become a nice little bit of a jumpstart for them, and it has seemed to be to start this season through the first quarter of the year. It's sustainable.
It is sustainable. 803-0550, the number to call. More on the Sabres coming up at the top of the hour with Sabres Live.
Don't forget, though, this holiday season, we are kicking off Mission Give Where You Live to benefit Buffalo City Mission, powered by NYSEG. Starting December 1st through December 19th, you can donate brand new sweatshirts, sweatpants, hats, gloves, scarves, and non-perishable food items to help keep our community warm and fed. You know our winters are brutal up here. Don't forget, you can stop by any Dash's Market location to drop off your donation in the Mission Give Where You Live donation bin. If you're shopping online, you can help there, too, by donating through the Buffalo City Mission's Amazon wish list. It's sponsored by the Barnstorm and Dash's Market, and you can find more information by getting the details at kiss985.com. Come back, wrap up the Extra Point show here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, on a Thanksgiving week. Thanks for hanging out with us here on WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You know, I forgot to mention, Derek, when talking about UB basketball yesterday, win over VMI. They're playing Bucknell tomorrow. They received an AP Top 25 vote. A single one.
Still a vote.
But they still received a vote, which I will say, a little aggressive. I love where your head's at.
No.
Whoever the voter is.
6-0, brother. Give them a vote.
A little aggressive. Let's wait a little while.
Nope.
Let's see how this goes. But I love where your head's at. It's a good
get
sign.
Get it started early.
It is a good sign for the program, though, where they're
indoctrinate
heading.
The masses early that UB
that's
is back.
Fair. That's
yes.
very fair.
No, you want it there. You want it in the minds.
That is very fair. I will also, I just real quick, and this is a needless thing, and it's really just for me and the sickos.
Me and the sickos.
Hate some of these mid-season tournaments, or early season tournaments, realistically, in college basketball. The crowd sizes are horrific. Like, the Players Era tournament is in Las Vegas. The crowds are terrible. Mainly, and I think this is a big part of it, because it's Feast Week.
Yep.
It's Thanksgiving, and no one really wants to go to Las Vegas and spend a ton of money on both going to Vegas and a college basketball tournament the week of Thanksgiving.
That's also kind of a ripoff to the players. I know, like, college basketball season, you need to start playing. But, like, Thanksgiving week, and then it's like, hey, you don't get to hang out with your family. You're going and playing in a tournament that nobody's going to watch.
Yeah, right.
Now, or nobody's going to be at. Nobody's going to watch.
But, like, Maui, it's always worked well because, yeah, it's Hawaii. You're like, all right, that's like a crazier
flight. Fine, I'll take the trade-off.
But it's in a much more compact gym. It's very small. It feels very high school and very intimate.
Yes.
And the crowds have always been great. And really, it's much more of, like, the basketball going on. Like, yesterday, the Players Era basketball looks great. You know, Houston, Syracuse. We've got Gonzaga, Alabama. Like, these are good games. You're going to have Kansas and Syracuse at, like, 3:30 today. Like, that's awesome.
Yep.
It's just, for me, the crowds look terrible. And that's a bad look. It's the same with Birmingham City Soccer doing this whole, we're going to have a 62,000-person stadium with a bunch of chimneys.
And 12 chimneys.
Your current stadium holds less than 30,000, and you haven't been in the Premier League in, like, 30 years. Are we sure that is the right decision? Are we sure? Because when you don't have a crowd in a big stadium or a big arena,
it looks
so bad.
It looks barren. Yeah,
it looks
not good.
Really bad. I would much rather have an arena with, like, 2,000 people in it, but it's packed to the brim, than 15,000 and, like, 6,000 show up.
Well, that'll do it for us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. Joe Kelly's been on the board, ever so polite and helping us out there today. Tomorrow, we'll probably get in some fights about Thanksgiving food. Talk to Paul Hamilton, Sal Capaccio, as well. And
we'll get the injury reports finally.
We'll get the injury reports finally as well.
We'll be zero dark 30 on the Bills anymore. It'll be nice.
We'll talk to Paul Hamilton about the Sabres playing against the Penguins. And more on the Sabres. Sabres Live is coming up next here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller. the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.